Please be seated. Dave told me before I started this morning that it would be appropriate to have a Veterans Day joke. And so, in honor of that, maybe I should say story. At any rate, here's a little story that there was a young fellow who was standing out in the narthex of one of the older churches up in New England area, and he was looking at a large bronze plaque that was in the narthex, and the minister saw him standing staring there, and he walked up to him, and the bronze plaque had stars in each corner, and he stood next to the little fellow, and the boy said to the minister, "What are all these names for?" And the minister said, "These are all people in this church who have perished in the service." And the little boy was kind of awed, and they stared together at this plaque. And then, in a little while, the boy tugged at the minister's side and kind of in a quavering voice said, "Which service, the 8:30 or the 10:30? There was an article in Reader's Digest called "Lame and Funny Excuses." In this article, I read about Charles O'Brien, the top aide to the New York governor, David Paterson. Charles neglected to file tax returns for 5 years. Neglected is the wrong word, said his lawyer. O'Brien couldn't pay his taxes. But O'Brien had an excuse. He said that he suffered from a medical condition called late filing syndrome, which is caused by depression. And even though this depression didn't stop him from being a highly functional professional or enjoying an active social life, it did seem to affect his ability to pay taxes 5 years in a row. Did anyone buy it? Not the American Psychiatric Association. An APA representative told the New York Times that it doesn't recognize late filing syndrome as a psychiatric condition. And then there was the case of Vito Fossella. Last year, the then New York Congressman Vito was pulled over in Alexandria, Virginia by the police and blew a .17 on the breathalyzer, more than twice the legal limit of alcohol in the blood. Vito gave this excuse, though. He said his high blood alcohol level was the result of alcohol-based hand sanitizer that he'd used. Did anyone buy that? No. He got a number of excuses, a number of looks for what do you take us for from the police, the DA, and the press. Pretty much everybody. Fossella then changed his plea from DUIHS, that is, driving under the influence of hand sanitizer, to just plain driving under the influence. Bad or negligent behavior with no good excuse. The gospel lesson today is about that very thing. In the gospel lesson today, Jesus tells a parable about a wedding. Interestingly enough, he doesn't even mention a bride, does he? He focuses on the bridesmaids. In order to catch the impact of this story, we need to know some historical background to first century Jewish weddings. The East and the West cultures are very different. In the Eastern culture, the bridegroom is often a more important figure than the bride, and he frequently paid all of the expenses for a wedding. Now, a Jewish wedding had three parts or stages. First, there's the formal engagement, the betrothal, which was almost always arranged by the parents. Secondly, and this could take up to a year or more later, came the formal religious ceremony in the bride's home. This was a religious service similar to our wedding services. And thirdly, there was the wedding banquet or feast, generally at night at the house of the groom. And it lasted for a week or more. The bridegroom would come, and it could take place either right after the wedding ceremony in the bride's house or several days later. The bridegroom would come to get his bride, and they would walk together back from the wedding to his house. It was an elaborate affair, and therefore it was a social event to which all the friends and the entire village were anxious to attend. The bride and the groom walked down the street, and the bridesmaids would be part of the welcoming committee by lighting the way with their lamps, or actually there would be torches. And these torches of those days were rags wrapped around pieces of wood and dipped in oil. They would stay lit for maybe 10, 15, maybe 20 minutes. Then the oil would be burnt out and the torch would simply smolder and need to be soaked in oil again. So to wait with a torch and not have extra oil would be like, in our day, bringing flashlights without batteries. Further, it would be a major faux pas for anyone in the wedding party not to be on the road ready to welcome the bridegroom and the bridegroom and the bride. That's the background of the story. So in our story, the 10 young women are waiting to join the wedding party. They're expecting and waiting for the bridegroom and bride, but it's taking a lot longer than anybody expected, so they fall asleep. When the wedding party is announced, the girls light their torches, but the ones without oil can't get theirs to light. And so the ones who did bring extra oil need theirs for the procession through town. So the ones who are unprepared cannot join the procession, and by the time they get to the party, it's too late, and they can't get in. Now, the parables of Jesus are symbolic. In this parable, we need to figure out who the bridegroom represents, because if we don't get that, the entire story loses its significance. The wedding party, the bridegroom, stands for the return of Jesus to earth, the end of the age, that is, the end of the world as we know it. Then we have the bridesmaids. They represent you and me. We are the ones waiting for the coming of Jesus at the end of time. Then we have the oil. It represents our devotion, our willingness to persevere in the faith. So this is the picture that Jesus is giving. He's coming. We're supposed to be waiting. Some Christians are wise. Some are foolish. The wise ones are the ones who are prepared to keep going for a long time. The foolish ones are not. The foolish ones are ready only for a short wait. As the story goes, after a very long wait, the wedding party is announced. The five maids light their lamps and join the group. The five foolish are not ready. They have to run off to get oil. By the time they return, the party's begun and they are not allowed to come into the house. When they knock at the door, they're told by the bridegroom, that is Jesus, the one through whom the entire world's been made, he says, "I don't know who you are. Go away." This is one of the most terrifying parables in Scripture. If this parable doesn't bother you, doesn't shake you up, it's because you don't understand what Jesus has just said. The thing about this story is that both terrifying, both the wise and the foolish look alike, don't they? They both have torches. They all fall asleep waiting. None of those things is apparently a problem. What the problem is that for one group, the foolish, they're not prepared for a long wait. They're only prepared for a short one. For this group, Christianity is something that one does for just a little while, but then it's not important. For them, the whole business of hanging in there is not relevant. Perseverance doesn't matter. Jesus teaches us here that one not only needs to have a right start, one needs to have a strong finish as well. It's like what John Wayne said in the movie Rio Bravo. He says, just showing up doesn't get the job done. This parable seems to emphasize the same message. It takes more than good intentions to be a faithful member of the Christian community. The fact is, being a disciple of Christ requires us to be committed for the long run. It requires us to sink our entire life into following after Christ. So, why aren't we more devout? Well, all of us have excuses, just like Charles Bryan and Vito Vasella. The bridesmaids in the parable today, I'm sure, had their excuses too. Excuses like, well, we didn't know the bridegroom was going to be so late. Or we misjudged how much oil the torches were going to use. Or my torch was defective. Or the girls wouldn't share. Perhaps our own excuses are good, and perhaps they are not quite so good. But at the end of time, when we're standing in front of God Almighty, and all of us will be standing in front of God Almighty, and He asks us, what have we done with our lives? How have we been faithful to following His Son who He sent to earth, who showed us how to live, how to love others, how to serve? How are you and I going to answer? Are we going to say things like, well, you see, I kind of like to sleep in on Sunday mornings. That's why I didn't make it to church very much. Or, I didn't get around to serving much in church because my life was really, really busy. Or, I didn't give a tithe to church because I really didn't think they needed my money. What kind of excuses do each of us have? Are they really any good? We have eternity in front of us. We have life everlasting waiting for us. Are we willing to risk our eternity with flimsy excuses? Are we really preparing for our next life? Are we right now making an effort to know and serve God? That's the bottom line, isn't it? Are we making an effort to know and serve God? That's what this life's all about. That's the oil the wise bridesmaids have in reserve. The wise Christians are those who are continually making an effort to know and serve God. Let's not be the kind of people who simply make excuses. Let's stay prepared. Let's be ready for our inevitable meeting with Almighty God. Amen.